worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
Wait, you're not Wilbur.
Ian Hunter.
It is apparently okay to be a pimp as long as you're a wild horse.
Mickey.
How about just stop complaining?
And Lazy E.
That's not a flub of speech, that's a flub of mind.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go! We are...
a freak accident.
Thank you. I'm glad you responded to that with all the enthusiasm I was expecting.
Wait. Rewind.
Okay.
We are
a freak accident.
Now we're talking. Yes, we are. It's a freakaccident.com. That's the website. My name is Crisco, and of course, I am joined by Lazy E.
That's me.
And Ian Hunter.
Just so much enthusiasm.
And Mickey.
I'm already broken.
We broke. All right, that might be record time.
Yeah.
Like 10 to 15 seconds into the episode, and we're done.
It was totally worth it.
I mentioned a freakaccident.com. Feel free to send us an email as well if you'd like to get in touch with us, freaks@freakaccident.com. While you're at that website, you can click connect on the menu bar, find links to all of our social media sites on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those places. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a good review, a good rating. Help us get higher rated in the old chart system thing that they have going on there. And don't forget to subscribe. New episodes will be automatically delivered every week. And Google Play Music if you're an Android user. Plus, everywhere else podcasts are downloaded too. We are thrilled you chose to be here today. We're stoked to have you, and we're stoked to get into this week's episode.
Micro Machines leading the way! You go so fast.
Well, at this point, it's just reflex. I could close my eyes and recite it in my sleep, probably.
Is that a lost reference anymore?
The Micro Machines thing?
Yeah.
That's the very edge of my recollection, I think. So it might be getting toward lost territory.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The guy who used to do Micro Machines commercials talked really fast.
Again, I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know what Micro Machines are, right?
No.
I'm taking that as a no.
Just jump off a bridge. Oh, my God.
Stop being so young. How dare you?
Yeah. Go back in time and get born earlier.
We might be able to do that as we get later on in the show. We've got a segment, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
But
yeah, we're thrilled to have you here, and I did want to start off the episode. I always hate doing this, but I mean, in this case, we kind of have to say thank you to the people listening right now, because we're just coming off our best month for downloads ever. And I don't mean as a freak accident. I mean, like, as long as we've been podcasting, our best month ever. It was a kind of a big deal for us.
And that really has nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with you downloading, sharing it with your friends. We can only get it so far.
We can only do the show. You have to like it enough to tell your friends and family about it and share the links and all that other stuff to help spread the word. But, I mean, it's been happening. So thank you for downloading and listening. And one of the most interesting statistics coming off of this last month, we kind of teased it on our last episode, but that was that we are based in Pennsylvania. And our statistics service tracks where all our downloads are coming from demographically. Okay, so we can look at and see, okay, we got, you know, downloads here, there, wherever, around the country and around the world. Now, number one is still unknown. I don't know. Parts unknown. That's where Ultimate Warrior's from, right?
I was just going to say, the Ultimate Warrior's area, his family, the demons or whatever, the little warriors,
yeah,
they love us.
The cloud gods and the flame genies and all that other good stuff.
The grass of the sky and the sky of the ground.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, all that good stuff. Outer space rocket ship. So, unknown is still number one. I think that's just sometimes, for whatever reason, it can't identify where the IP is coming from. But since we're based in Pennsylvania, our friends, our family, most people we know live here. So when we tell people we do a podcast, you would expect most of the downloads to be coming from our home state.
And for years, that was the case.
It was the case. Not anymore. Pennsylvania has been surpassed. And we talked about this last week. It's actually a really interesting, totally random.
Meet Virginia.
Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia is now our number one most downloaded state.
At first, I got excited. I thought it was the band Train. And I was like,
Meet Virginia.
That is awesome.
They love us in that band. No, but Virginia has passed Pennsylvania, by orders of magnitude. Many, many hundreds of downloads more than Pennsylvania. It's kind of shocking. And here's the other thing. It just came out of nowhere. Like, for the longest time, it was like PA, New York, Maryland. There was a lot. You know, actually, Florida likes us a lot for some reason. California loves us. But then all of a sudden, Virginia just decided, nah, I just leapfrogged all of them and just took first place. So I don't know where all y'all are at in Virginia and how you found us, but we're thrilled to have you on board. But I had an interesting thing I wanted to send out to the listener. You know, since we're 6 months into this show already, the show's been around for six months, we're growing by leaps and bounds all over the place, I was hoping maybe we could get you, the listener, to shoot us an email, let us know how you found the show, where you live, and, you know, also you can let us know what your favorite parts of the show are, or you can even make suggestions for stuff you'd like to see more of on the show. I'm open for anything.
You mean hear more of?
Right. What did I say?
See.
Well, you get what I mean. You got to be nitpicky, though, because that's just you and your personality.
Hey, we can see things now. We had the live show last week.
This is true.
Ah, we have video capability, Mickey, in your face.
I'd like to add one more thing to that email. I want to see them not only tell us what they like, what they want us to add to the show, how they found us. I want you to tell us one weird thing about the area you're from.
Oh, that would be cool, too. Yeah.
I need to know, because I've been to Virginia maybe twice. I want to know what to look out for.
Plus, we're always talking about weird things that happen around here, around our home base.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a foreign concept to anybody who lives out of state, or definitely the people who live out of the country, because we get a lot of international listeners, too. So, but yeah, send us an email. Let us know how long you've been listening, how you found the show, where you're from, you know, what's a weird thing about your area, and let us know what you like about the show and what you want to see more of. We would love to hear from you. freaks@afreakaccident.com. That's the email address.
That's freaks@afreakaccident.com. Bam.
Bam. Look at that. The pro with the repeat and everything else.
Got to get it in their heads.
We might as well be a real radio show.
Maybe.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Close enough. Broadcast media.
Okay, we can do that. Right. Yeah,
that's it's a type of broadcasting.
I do have to say, some of the local listeners around here came up to me at work the other day because they happen to be in the same building.
Creepy.
And they mentioned, that the live that we did, we have to watch out with the lighting. Apparently, nobody could see our faces for like the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, because we had to draw the shades. Yeah, it's...
Oops.
And we were learning with time. That was our first time doing a Facebook Live.
Listen, we're audio people.
Yeah,
we're not visible... minded. We have faces for radio, for crying out loud. There's a reason that joke is a thing.
Speaking of the live show, my wife actually did a count of how many times Crisco flipped his hair. She got up to 34 times he flipped his hair.
Wow.
Yeah, well, the coif was getting to getting to mop stage at that point. Now you can see I got a nice cut. It's all resting good in place. I don't do the flip now, but then when it's just all kind of hanging all over the place, I have to flip it into place a little bit.
When his coif quaves,
right,
he has to watch out.
I'm like a Disney movie. If only I could do it in slow motion, you know, just like whip the hair back.
Don't do that again. No. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm.
You didn't like that?
No.
You didn't even like that?
No, that was not good.
At least our listeners can understand what we have to deal with on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
That's an insult at me.
It is. Very good. Congratulations.
I saw the motor running. I saw the little mouse going.
I was like, wait a second. She's making fun of me.
Wait a second. This isn't good.
This is.
Oh, no. Yeah. No.
I was
not going right at all.
I was going to laugh, and then I just, wait a minute. No, this is decidedly not fun. I am not having a good time in this moment.
Wait. I can tell you what it's like inside his head at that moment. Oh, that's funny. Wait a second. Wait. Jimmy, did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
Was that at us?
Let me look it up.
Wait a second. Oh, no! No!
You like how my head is his voice?
Yeah.
And that's actually two of his voices. It's him and then him doing like a Mickey Mouse type voice at the same time.
Actually, my head sounds like you. Watch, peek in.
Man, I'm hungry. Still so hungry. I'm so alone up here.
I only have one voice. That's sad.
Yeah.
But it's hungry.
Wait one second. I'm just
kidding. Wait, let's check back in. Yeah, sure.
Mega colon.
Now that's how it is. Now I'm just curious, just out of curiosity, can we look into Ian's head really quick?
What's that door doing?
Ha ha! And we might as well just round out the table. Mickey, let's here's what's in your head.
I really don't own anything else besides jeans.
We all kind of gave each other our voices. Man, you guys trade voices like me and Crisco. Is there something going on there?
You'll never know.
Ooh. Showmance.
Showmance, yeah. We're rubbing off on each other.
Ooh.
Metaphysically, including physically.
Oh, no.
We got a great episode lined up for this one, though. I'm stoked about this one. We've got a political segment, which is going to be...
Be careful!
It is going to be fun. It is not going to be anger-inducing or me going off on an insane tirade.
I'm just going to step on your toes every time you start going off.
Don't drop the heavy bottom part of the microphone on there, though, like you almost did before we started today. I just hear clink, and I look down, and it's right next to my foot.
Toes.
I'm like, man, that was a close call.
And just for you, listener, this involves Donald Trump supporting somebody or showing his love for somebody that... Oh my God, you cannot miss this.
Yeah, please stick around for that one. So we're going to have a political segment. We are also going to...
And a statement. We're going to make statements.
A freak accident does not agree that we were there. We have no recollection of any kind of email between us and Hillary Clinton at any time.
And no new taxes!
Read my lips.
Yeah.
No new taxes. All right. Joey Chestnut has ascended the mountain again. We'll get to that, the results of the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, the annual. I don't even know what annual it is now.
Oh,
it's been going on for like at least 100 years, right?
It was a big one. It was.
It might have been 100.
Yeah, wasn't it? I think it was the 100th.
People have been eating hot dogs competitively for 100 years.
God bless America.
What a country, man. What a world that we live in.
God bless.
We've got six insane theories about existence that sprung out of something that Elon Musk said recently. He's a smart guy. Just not in this case. Mickey, you'll really like this segment because this sounds like it's something right out of your left field.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We've got an interview, an exclusive interview that Lazy E himself has done.
Godzilla.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, WWE Hall of Famer and legend Lazy E interviewed him on his own the other day. Kind of got it an exclusive scoop.
Ooh.
Pretty big deal. So we're going to be airing that. And also, we've got an amazing prank that happened at the zoo.
Yay.
Mickey's excited about this one. I haven't read it yet, but I've kind of got it in inkling, so I'm looking forward to it, and you should be too. It's all on the way in this episode of A Freak Accident.
Reasons to listen to A Freak Accident.
We always go above and beyond in serving our community.
The fact that it's court-ordered is irrelevant.
Goodbye, Hillary. Will you ever prove it all that you had your own emails? Keep them for yourself.
Fun and Gunnin's got away with words.
They do.
I think they had a better idea what's going on with Hillary Clinton than our Department of Justice apparently does.
Yeah, that doesn't really make much sense.
Yeah, this is your political segment on A Freak Accident, and I was very proud of myself last time we did one because I did not go off on any kind of crazy political tirades or anything, and apparently Ian's got a off mic. We named him... Politian, right? No?
I don't know.
Politian.
Politian.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Politian, yeah, Politian and Politicrisco. Apparently, we both got a bent for very...
No, I just like getting you to go on a tirade.
Oh.
That's my fun in
you
life.
You just love poking the bear.
Yeah, that's my job.
It's dangerous.
I know.
So, I'm going to do my best. Last time, I was happy. Didn't freak out. Didn't go crazy. I'm going to do it the same thing again this time. Not going to... Just going to remain objective.
I think you could do it.
Like a true member of the media should.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to allow my personal vendettas to get in the way.
Do we have Vegas odds of him going off on a tirade? Because I want in.
All right. Let's do this.
Two right. to one.
So,
I'll take that.
Hillary Clinton was in the news today, yesterday, will be tomorrow, and likely for the next week. Because everybody's familiar at this point with her thing with her emails. Right? We're all aware of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had her email system set up on a private server that was in her house. It was not encrypted, and she was sharing classified information through this private email that was easily hackable, argued that it was easily hackable, that somebody could have gotten in there, seen top secret classified information, spread it around, whatever. I did think it was funny that WikiLeaks leaked like 30,000 of her emails over the weekend. Kind of like, well, yeah, there you have it.
pretty
easy to get in there if you just know what you're doing. So there was an ongoing investigation for the longest time. Now, finally, FBI Director James Comey comes out the other day, and he gives a scathing statement against her, about the investigation. Excuse me. And he comes out right out and says that she claimed, oh, well, you know, I said no classified information. And he said, oh, yes, she did. She sent, it was something like 110 emails had classified above top secret information in it at the time that they were sent. So it wasn't like she was saying that, oh, they might retroactively classify something. No, at the time it was classified. 7 email chains had something in it. So she said, I never sent classic information. I never sent classified information. FBI said, through their investigation, yes, you did. She said, I handed over everything that they asked me to. They said, nope, 30,000 emails were still missing from everything that you sent in. We're still trying to figure out where those might have been. So she lied about that.
Well, maybe she accidentally just sent them to WikiLeaks.
Yeah, right.
That's how they got
Julian, wrong email.
Julian Assange, you rascal, you. And the other thing was she had said that it was secure, that she had had it in a secure place, that it was guarded by the Secret Service and everything else. And then they said, nope, actually, this is less secure than Gmail.
Ooh, less secure than Gmail?
Yeah.
What was she using?
I have no idea. Juno, maybe?
Oh, God.
Web. What was the other one back then? Not AOL, not Juno.
Hotmail?
Yeah, maybe it was Hotmail.
Earthlink.
Earthlink,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So essentially, she had the email address we all give our grandmothers to give them an email address.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the email address that I have where whenever I sign up for a magazine or something, because all the spam goes in there, and I just periodically go in there and clean it. But so she was just, she straight up lied about a bunch of stuff. And so they're like, oh, she did this wrong. She was negligent. She was not careful. She was irresponsible and everything else. But we are not going to say that there should be any charges. They did not press any charges, despite the fact that it's very obvious that she did something terribly wrong. And people have pointed out the fact that other people have done far less than this and been charged or jailed. And the funny thing is, the director even said in the very speech, he said, don't you think that you could do this and not get punished for it? Because you will be punished for it, but that's just not what we're doing right now in this instance.
Well, it's a strike system.
She got a slap on the wrist this time, and that's going to be it going forward.
I'm going to sit in the corner, but next time, you in trouble.
Yeah, you better not do this again after you come out of timeout. You understand that?
Her punishment is having to actually be in the same room at the same time, multiple times with Donald Trump.
Ooh. Oh. She was already going to face that punishment, though. But that kind of, people are saying justice is dead. Yeah, for a certain class of people, yes, it absolutely is. Because for any of us, if we did something like that,
done.
Well, look at Edward Snowden. Where's he at? He's still hiding out in Russia because he, tampered with classified stuff, and they want him in jail. They want him dead, as far as I know. And I mean, he did that. He's in hiding now, and she's allowed to run for president. Certainly seems like a double standard to me.
What are you talking about? He's a main character on Game of Thrones.
Oh.
I didn't even watch that show, and I nailed that joke. Nailed it. Yeah. Ian knows.
You're not funny, and nobody likes you.
Yeah,
they are making
Punk
a movie about him, though. They are making a movie about him, though. So, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah.
Well, we got done with the donkey. Let's go to the elephant.
You're a mean one, Mr. Trump.
They're right. Trump is not a nice man.
No, so, neither are the people he idolizes.
You're talking about, well, here's the thing. You're talking about Donald Trump had this one in the bag, right?
Oh, easy.
Hillary Clinton just proved. Oh, that was the other thing with her, too. Bill had met with Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, in the weeks leading up to this investigation. And I think he had also met with the FBI person in charge of the investigation, too. It's like, yeah, no, this isn't weird at all. And then it just so happens that the FBI statement happens the same day that Obama's campaigning with her. Nope, nothing to see here. Don't look. Don't think about it.
I really thought you were going to say he met with Monica Lewinsky.
I'm sure that's happened too. We just didn't see that in the news.
Now, Bill, can you tell me about your wife's email? What's email?
So, he has this in the bag. There's nothing he can do. He can't be that stupid to screw that up.
Donald Trump, yeah, you've got this one so locked down. All you have to do is go out and say, look at this. Look at how rigged this system is, how justice is dead and all this.
And then less than a week after this happens.
No, the day. Very day that it happens.
Well, it still fits.
He had a speech. He came out the very day that the FBI announced that there weren't going to be charges, even though the law had been broken.
This is so bad.
All you had to do was talk about this, man. All you had to do. What does he come out and say? You know what? Saddam Hussein wasn't such a bad guy. How could you screw it up so bad?
My God, he is that stupid.
There are some people you could say that about. Like a bully in high school. Not a tyrant that killed thousands and thousands of people.
Well, to be fair, what he said is, he in this speech, in context, he said, you know what? He said, Saddam Hussein's a bad guy, right? Evil guy, really bad guy. But you know what he did well? He killed terrorists.
That doesn't make it okay.
No, it is kind of funny, though.
From our point of view,
it's hysterical. It's absolutely hysterical.
I get what he's trying to say. He's trying to say Iraq didn't have as many problems when Saddam Hussein was in it because, guess what? He was a terrorist, so he knew how to deal with the other guys.
That was the thing. It's arguably, you know, Iraq was stable. It wasn't exactly a safe place or a nice place, but it was stable as opposed to now when it's just a war-torn, bloody battlefield as ISIS swoops in and is blowing up cities and all this other nonsense.
So, yeah, Saddam Hussein was very good at killing terrorists. That's because he killed everyone.
Yeah.
he didn't go, are you a terrorist? Listen, okay, you're good.
It's not exactly someone that you idolize for any reason whatsoever. No. You don't look at somebody like Saddam Hussein and say, real bad guy, but there is no but. Okay, that's like saying, you know, that Hitler, you know, he was terrible, but he did make those trains run on time.
Oof.
It's the same thing.
Oh, no, you're right.
That's
you're
the
right.
kind of mentality that goes into a statement like that.
Do you know I actually have a connection with Saddam Hussein?
Is this through your He-Man? Everybody's connected to He-Man, the movie? Is this through that?
No.
Oh. Did he also have a megacolon?
Let's just put it this way.
He did.
Okay. I'm going to reveal something. My real name isn't Lazy E. All right? We'll just leave it at that. So a certain way they had to, in college, when we had to come up with passwords and usernames for the different labs, we had to use a combination. We had to flip around our name so it was almost, you know, impossible to figure out. Mine spelled Saddam.
Ah!
Just by their workings of it, it was Saddam.
Oh, yeah. It would spell that way.
I left it logged on a couple times. Can you imagine what those kids thought? What the heck's happening?
At least Hussein had two D's, though. Two D's in his name. Don't give me that. No. 2D Saddam.
What was your password, bomb?
Now, you see, that's just immature.
I have a question. You went to college?
Oh!
This coming from the doorman.
I didn't have to take a class about that in college.
I think it's safe to say, though, this election, this whole thing, I mean, this thing with Donald not knowing to keep his mouth shut just for an hour, you know, it just goes to show you that this election's been crazy. But some people are actually saying this election was predicted by Nostradamus.
Ooh.
Wait, do that again.
Ooh. You went up.
Yeah.
Well, you have the echo. You got to go up.
Went up an octave. Yeah. So Nostradamus, everybody knows who he was. He was a French guy. People think he was a prophet.
Nostradamus, he's a French guy.
That was not an untrue statement.
No, it wasn't. It was just very basic.
Some people say that he predicted everything from World War II to the moon landing, you know, all the way down to like the end of certain reality TV shows.
I get it. Big Brother was really ruined when I read some of his books.
Yeah. So here's what some people are saying Nostradamus said about this election. Two bodies, one head, fields divided in two, and then to reply to four unheard ones, little ones for great ones, clear evil for them, lightning at the tower of Agis Mortis, word for Asuris.
Run to the hills! It seems like an Iron Maiden song.
It does kind of seem like that, doesn't it? Yeah. Clearly two bodies are Hillary and Bernie, and the one head is the Democratic Party. Tower, a clear reference to the Trump Tower. Agis Mortis is a French medieval city surrounded by walls. Ah!
Oh, the wall!
Like the wall he wants to build between here and Mexico. See? It was all predicted before, Mickey.
We could have avoided this.
Boy, you can really read into that one.
Yeah, well, that's kind of... Isn't that the thing with Nostradamus' stuff, though? It's so completely, utterly vague. You can describe any kind of meaning to it that you really want. That's why people say this stuff, but... Here's another one. Letters are found in the queen's chests.
Ooh.
They're saying this refers to the emails.
Ooh. Okay.
No signature and no name of the author. The ruse will conceal the offers so that they do not know who the lover is.
Ooh.
Does that mean the FBI should have looked in Hillary Clinton's shirt for the 30,000 missing emails?
Nostradamus.
Damn, son.
Nostradamus, more like Nostradamus. The false meaning about the rigged election. To run through the city, stopping the broken pact. Voices bought, chapel stained with blood. The empire contracted to another one.
You see...
None of these make any sense.
They don't make sense, but I actually looked into those that chapter of his writing or whatever you would call it, and there is a part that makes it very obvious it's about this election. It said, while walking through the valley, through the volcanoes, and the double-headed dragon, he turned around. This god turned around and said, "You're fired." That seems pretty obvious to me.
Thou art inflamed.
And then started the UCFL.
Oh, see, now this is, I can't take credit for this. This is on the Huffington Post, and they have memes here, too. It says, "Oh, Nostra didn't."
That one's better.
Yeah.
They did it better. I like that.
Apparently, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, this is, it goes in pretty in-depth. Again, it's reading into a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what? We'll post that up at afreakaccident.com.
Yes, afreakaccident.com. Go and tell us what meaning you find here. I see my dinner order for the next couple weeks in here, personally. I mean, he's telling me what I need to eat for lunch and dinner. That's what I'm getting at.
Perfect.
Sounds a lot like Roger Goodell and Tom Brady to me.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, he did do that, so, yeah.
Well, you know.
No air in the sporting league. What a filthy hoodie. Something, I don't know.
Check out our podcast archive, where you can hear every episode we've ever recorded, including all the old ones. Or if you're an Alzheimer's patient, all the new ones.
You remember it, right?
Yes.
Podcast.afreakaccident.com.
Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. Now we got ears, it's time for cheers. Hot dog, hot dog.
I feel like once Sausage Party comes out, we're going to have a different theme song for segments like this.
Oh, we will.
Probably.
Yeah. That's from the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
That was way past my time.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you have a crush on the one girl on the...
No, that was the... This was a full-on cartoon.
Oh.
The Clubhouse is different than the Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, see? I'm confused.
Come on.
I didn't watch either, so I don't know.
I have no idea. It has nothing to do with me.
Except your name. It shares your name.
Yeah.
Not the spelling, but the sound. Sounds the same. Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Yes, this past weekend, of course, every 4th of July is when this event occurs.
I look forward to this every year. Not so much for the competition, but for the guy who announces them all. It is hilarious. He comes up, he raps for one guy, and it's like, he ate 300 baked potatoes on a Tuesday. And it's like, what's that? He is the essence of good, but the power of evil.
He's like that guy who says, "Let's get ready to rumble" during boxing matches. He's him, but with competitive eating.
Yeah.
Okay.
And way more creative.
Yes.
Way more creative.
He's brilliant. He says some of the stuff like we come up with on this show.
better.
I want to have him just introduce this podcast somewhere.
Oh, that would be amazing. I love that idea. It's going to happen.
Find out what his name is, where his information is, and we're going to make that happen.
He can introduce the Krispy Kreme challenge.
When we finally do the Krispy Kreme run. Yeah, he can introduce that. That will happen that. This year. I just need to find the time and the money. And the will. Yeah. I need to start running to try and train to
No, that's cheating.
It's cheating to train to run. I just need to stuff donuts in my mouth and go. Okay.
You know,
Mickey wants to kill me. Learned that today.
Before this competition even kicked off, I was hella mad. And that's just not just regular mad.
The hot dog eating contest.
I was hella mad.
Why is that?
Because every year, 4th of July, noon. That's when it happens every single year.
Yeah, it's tradition.
It happens at noon every single year, but this year, I turn it on. No, it's not. I go look online. No, they're going to tape it, and you can watch it on the ESPN Watch Now app while they air tennis.
What?
Not just tennis, Wimbledon from England. That is the most un-American thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought this was America. You're telling me that you pushed back the hot dog eating contest for Wimbledon.
For England. What is the fourth about?
Yeah.
We pushed it back for tennis in England.
When it finally did air, though, the 100th annual Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest in Coney Island, New York?
New York.
Yes. Yeah. That's, I can't believe we've been doing this for 100 years. That is incredible.
Started out, the first guy you won in the first couple, 13 hot dogs. That's all they ate.
I was going to say, yeah, that wasn't, competitive eating wasn't a thing back then. That's a relatively modern advancement, isn't it?
I wouldn't exactly call it an advancement.
Oh, no, it's an advancement. But what made this one even more exciting.
It's an advancement in plumbing.
I need that. What made this one exciting is that last year, Joey Chestnut loses.
Well, that's the thing. Joey Chestnut is famous. He's been the champ for, a decade?
He knocked out Kobayashi.
Right.
But
who was named after the unbeatable thing in Star Trek. That is quite impressive.
But last year, Matt Stoney wins. He beats him out.
And everybody thought Matt Stoney was going to be the next big thing, right?
Yeah, everybody thought, well, this is the next heir. Right. The heir apprentice to the hot dog throne. But this one went on, and, well, it didn't turn out that way.
10 seconds to go. He's got to get that one down. There we go with 69.
Joey Chestnut.
Final second.
He got it.
And he got 70.
The most
hot
dogs.
70.
The most hot dogs ever eaten on the corner of Surf and Stillwell Avenues by the greatest eater in the history of mankind.
Joey Josh Chestnut is the champion again!
The mustard belt comes back home.
USA! USA! USA!
Now, what he said, the reason why he lost last year, he said he wasn't feeling good, which makes sense because last year, I think it was at like 60, 62, Matt Stoney won. Not only that, the girl that he proposed to the year prior broke up with him like that week.
Which is funny because usually when someone breaks up with someone, you have a lot of food.
Yeah.
But this is a guy who eats all the time, so it went in reverse.
It worked backwards on him. He set a world record, though. 70 hot dogs and the buns in 10 minutes.
No, sir. He broke the Nathan record.
Oh.
About a month or so. I forget how many days, months earlier. He broke the world record at another event, 73.
Oh, my God.
The guy's a beast.
How could... Picture that for a second.
I don't want to. It's disgusting.
70 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That's 10 hot dogs a minute. No, that's 7 hot dogs a minute. Yeah, 7 times 10 is 70. 7 hot dogs a minute.
Good job.
Wow.
Look at you.
I went to college.
I see. It's working real well.
7 hot dogs a minute, Mickey. Realize how short a minute is? Realize how much 7 hot dogs is?
Did I even have 70 hot dogs in all of 2015?
I don't think I've had 70 hot dogs in like the last 10 years. He did it in 10 minutes.
Is it bad that when I watch that, I get hungry for hot dogs? Now, Mickey, I know you're not a proficient watcher of the hot dog eating contest.
You would be correct.
If you ever go down to Coney Island, which is a bucket list item for myself, if you sit in the front row, do you know what they call it?
No.
The spill zone. Because you know what happens when they don't finish the hot dogs?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Did Kobayashi try and claim that he beat him again this year? Because the last couple years, after Joey Chestnut, Joey Jaws Chestnut, after he dethroned Kobayashi, and Kobayashi was like actually kicked out of competitive eating for steroid use or something
like
that.
I have no idea.
Because the crazy thing is, these guys train, like physically train. They said that his bite, Joey Chestnut's bite, is stronger than that of a pit bull.
But what
he could chew through your neck in a second.
But what happened the prior year is that Kobayashi said he was eating along with him, and he beat him out.
He said that for like 3 years in a row. Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, I was eating along with him like at a bar somewhere. And I thought, well, first of all, what bar has 70 hot dogs just waiting somewhere for somebody to come in and be like, I'd like to competitively eat here today, please.
I need to compete.
He claimed that he ate along with the contest and ate more than Joey Chestnut, even though it was completely unsubstantiated.
I do not want to see the bathroom at that bar.
No. But he didn't claim he did that this year. There was no word from Kobayashi.
He's kind of like disappeared.
That's what I mean. He was really, really butthurt for a while there after losing that contest.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like more ways than one.
I was going to say more than you would be normally from just eating 70 around there hot dogs in 10 minutes time.
It's amazing to see how much money Joey Chestnut makes throughout the year, because they do other competitive eating. You have to qualify for this. Not Joey Chestnut, but he does it on the side. Even if he doesn't competitively eat, restaurants just pay him to come in just because Joey Chestnut's here. Here, eat a hot dog. That's cool. Here's $5,000.
Didn't you do a competitive eating contest one time?
I did.
It was tater tots, right?
It was called Rock the Tot. And it was free to enter. We walked into the local casino, and the first thing I see is a big statue with a tater tot that had legs and arms, and it was holding up a fork going, ah! And I was like, that's reason enough. Then I see they're giving out free t-shirts, and I'm like, sold. So I go up there, and my buddy signed up as well. We got to write our own intros and everything. It was really funny. So we knew we were in trouble when the guy next to us pulls out his own packets of drink mix, pours them into his own cups, and gets ready. I'm like, we're in trouble.
This guy's the real deal here, and we just showed up on a whim.
Now, I ended up eating, in 10 minutes, 1.25 pounds of tater tots.
Good God.
This might have been the birth of the mega colon. But I was outshined by numbers, by more than you would imagine.
Yeah. Pounds.
The guy who won. Take a guess how much, Ian. Take a guess.
Okay, you had
1.25.
You had 1.25 pounds. You got destroyed. I'm gonna go 7 pounds.
11 pounds.
10 pounds.
Ding ding ding.
Yeah.
You had 10 friggin' pounds.
You see what I just did to you though? I just did what people do on the Price Is Right. I went one under.
Yeah.
$1, sir. Oh my God! But no, it was painful. It was terrible. That was awful.
Yeah, bet you were feeling that.
And do you know what the winner got? He got the trophy and a year's worth of tater tots. I was like, who in the world would want to eat that?
If I'm winning that contest, I'm never eating tater tots again.
No, 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 no.
Either way, congrats, Joey Chestnut. You, sir, are a real American.
America.
The early bird catches the worm. But the early worm gets ruthlessly devoured by a gigantic superior predator. Maybe we'll just sleep in today. This is a freak accident.
In a world where things are creepy.
Universe is a weird place, man. And it gets weirder when you hear some of the theories surrounding the universe and reality in existence. A lot of it is pseudoscience, but it's enough to make you think, what if, right?
What if?
Mickey, this is right up your alley with your crazy conspiracy theories that I know that you have about things.
Okay.
I get a feeling you would totally buy into this stuff lock, stock, and barrel.
I don't buy into a lot of stuff.
No.
Just talk about a lot of stuff.
I was going to say, just things that make no sense at all.
Uh-huh.
And to quote a song, things that make us go,
From the Daily Mail. Don't do that again. From the Daily Mail, Elon Musk, who we all know is the CEO of SpaceX and Tesla Motors. This guy is world-renowned for being brilliant. He's a brilliant scientific mind. He's a very intelligent businessman. I mean, he's creating cars that run on electricity and are very, very impressive, even though they're astronomically expensive.
I'm okay with that.
And he's got a private space program, SpaceX. very interesting guy.
Let me just call BS on that. He's not that brilliant, because if he was if he's this famous, why hasn't he come out with his own scent called the Elon Musk? Come on.
I give you that one.
All right.
So all right. Easy.
All right.
Yeah. That was pretty good. Well done, sir.
T-ball for that one.
Anyway, he said recently, this is coming from the Daily Mail, he claims there is a 1 in billions chance we are not living in an alien computer simulation.
Question?
1 in billions chance we're not living in an alien's computer.
Yeah, question. So is the next part of this story the drugs he was caught with?
I wish it was. No, he said this at some point. He believes that video game technology will become indistinguishable from reality eventually, and he's just applying that to the idea that, oh, sure, some alien somewhere who has a million years head start on us has developed this technology already and is basically using us a la the Matrix. Like, we're creating some sort of, we are somehow a natural resource for them, and they're keeping us basically, what would you say? They're keeping us quiet and just keeping us at ease with these simulations and that we picture as our lives.
So we're just like a picture within a picture within a picture?
Basically.
Okay.
Think the Matrix. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Could they make it not so hot in here? That'd be cool.
Anybody turn down the sun in this simulation? That'd be really great.
First of all, would have been really creeped out if that happened. Second off, it would have been different if he said, there's the idea, there's a chance, but how many billions that it's not that?
Yeah, he said it's 1 in a billion chance we're not in a simulation.
You see, therefore, that's making odds, a pretty good assumption. Yeah,
the odds are highly in favor of us living in an alien's computer.
That's a nut job.
Yeah. But it blows your mind, because you think a guy as smart as Elon Musk, he at least has to have some kind of statistical something behind his statement like that, right?
No.
Yeah, Wiki, the cynic. All right.
What if, and this is a what if too, what if he knows he's as smart. He's not, you know, he knows we all say, oh, he knows everything. What if he just says stuff to, you know, F with us?
Maybe he
probably does.
Yeah. I mean, somebody who's that rich and that bored, I mean, yeah, sure. Why not just say outrageous things from time to time?
You got to think at some point before he created the car, somebody went, he's nuts about that too, because, you know, you can't make a fully electric car. It's not possible. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess what? Happened.
So now I'm going to have a farm of people living in a simulation, and I'll show you.
I want to know what beer he was drinking before he made this statement.
Beer, drugs, either way. I'm all on board with either of those things. But it made me wonder, what other weird theories are there out there about existence and reality? So I looked up, this is from Cracked.com, which, you know, when you need scientific information, you go to Cracked. The 6 most WTF scientific theories about existence. Number 6 is that we might be living in the Matrix. Exactly what he's talking about. He mentions philosopher Nick Bostrom, who came up with the statistical argument that we're living in an extremely sophisticated version of The Sims.
Volleyball to Swamina.
How do you know the language?
I played it a lot.
I was going to say, that is definitely words I've heard in that game.
A friendship.
We need to do an entire episode of this podcast with you just speaking Simonese or whatever it is.
Oh, 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 oh. That's when you're about to pee your pants on the game. Oh, oh, oh.
There's a question. Ask our alien overlords why they designed you with that megacolon. Why couldn't they just make going to the bathroom easier for you?
Okay, I'll do it right now.
Halaba! Palaba!
See, they responded.
Oh, okay.
That's all they say in The Sims.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the video game The Sims, they're actually speaking the language of the aliens that designed us. It's like a back door into the actual reality.
Ooh.
How's that mind, dude? Is it blown?
Not really.
You gotta talk. Yeah, there's a mic.
Yeah. No, he was deep. He was transfixed. He was deep in thought there.
Hey, alien, whoever's playing in, fix him.
Change his stats. Give him a little bit more personality, a little less athleticism, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's what I need less of.
Number 5, there's probably another you out there somewhere.
Oh, no, I've met my doppelganger. Yeah. I saw him at the casino. What was it? It was about 2 weeks ago.
I wasn't there, so why are you looking
at
me?
No, I'm just telling you the story, Ian. This is how we talk.
Human beings.
Hey, aliens, fix Ian, please.
Give him more social skills.
God, he doesn't know like basic communication.
Yeah, some better manners.
I'll talk to Ian now. So,
less business acumen.
Look right up into the sky. No, I was at the casino, and the one guy we work with, Mike, goes, "Oh my God, E, look!" And I'm not kidding you. I even thought, "Look, just—I mean, ugly, ugly human being. Look just like me."
You don't have a lot of self-confidence, do you, pal?
Not at all.
Hmm. Anyway, the theory goes that there are only a certain number of combinations of particles possible. Give a room full of kids a set of 5 Lego blocks, and a few of them are going to wind up building the same thing. That's the idea. So there's only so many ways that matter can arrange itself into faces, into body types, etc. Eventually, there's going to be a duplicate.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That makes sense.
While you may not... I thought when I first read this, oh, this is talking about multiple universes. You know, like alternate universe Crisco, who's got a goatee, and he twirls it like, you know... Like a caricature villain or something like that.
So the one that can grow a beard.
Right. Somewhere out there, there's a universe where I can grow facial hair. I guarantee it happens. You and me both, Ian. We have magnificent beards somewhere out there.
Bastards.
Hey, aliens, question.
Give them more Rogaine.
But yeah, this is saying that, you know, eventually, throughout time, someone will show up with exactly the same features that you have.
So DNA can only do so much.
I guess.
That's
yeah.
basically what it's saying.
I mean, they say, though, that, like, your fingerprints, there's no two identical fingerprints, right?
Yeah.
There's no two identical snowflakes. That's another thing. So
who proved that?
I want to know who's counting yeah. every single snowflake
That's
in
a
existence,
lie.
Saying, yeah, no, these are all totally different.
Yeah, go check.
Number 4, we might collide with another universe someday. See, now we're getting really yeah, existential. Crazy. How many universes are there? And this isn't necessarily just alternate universes, but the idea is that our universe, which has all of this matter and energy in it, there's another universe out there somewhere. It won't exactly be an exact duplicate, but it's another sphere of existence with its own matter, with its own energy, with its own laws of physics.
So you're saying there's a chance I could actually live in a world where the Millennium Falcon exists?
Assuming so. Yeah, well, that's the many worlds theory. That's something else entirely. That says that there is a universe for every decision that's made.
Oh, my God.
Because, yeah, if you leave my neighborhood tonight, Lazy E, and you go left instead of right, there's a universe out there somewhere where you turned right. Because the idea is that, oh, yeah, every possibility.
You haven't heard of that?
Every
no, no,
possibility,
but that's stupid.
Yeah, every possibility must be lived out somewhere. Yeah.
I wouldn't make it home. If I turned the other way, I'd end up somewhere. That universe stupid. Really dumb.
Anyways, continue.
Okay, 3, the universe may work like a giant computer. It's one thing to suggest that our universe is just a video game on some alien Xbox, but there's another theory that the universe is itself a computer. According to this view of reality, all those stars and planets and galaxies and black holes are just circuits and processors on a giant motherboard that's going about its days calculating who knows what for what no reason. I don't know.
Hopefully Verizon doesn't have to set up their internet like yours.
Yeah.
We'll be shut down for a long time.
Yeah, at that macro level of existence, hopefully there's somebody more competent than Verizon.
Yeah.
You can only hope. That's an interesting theory, though. That we're all just parts of a giant mechanism.
Yeah.
We're germs on somebody's watch. some giant, you know, transcendent being has a watch, and we're just all part of the gears. We're mold on the gears. Don't start making that noise. We might be living inside a black hole.
Nice.
Here's another one. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense because, you know, people have theorized that if you go through a black hole, you'll end up in another universe yeah. or another planet. So we just might be on the other side of one.
Yeah, I think the idea is that matter goes in, it doesn't come out, and essentially, if you actually run through the equations, the mass of the singularity at the center of a black hole is infinity, which is not possible. But the idea is if you went in there, you would pop out inside of another universe that has been created inside of that black hole. So we are inside of a dead star of some larger universe.
That infinity thing is possible. I could quote a famous astronaut from infinity to be come on.
That's not even the quote.
To infinity and beyond.
You screwed it up.
No, it's still right. He's a very famous astronaut. Did more than that Buzz Lightyear guy. Come on. He met Woody.
Keep on sucking.
Number one, we will eventually live in bullet time. You know what bullet time is?
No, I do not.
That's the thing in the Matrix when everything slows down to the point where you can see bullets and dodge them.
Oh, God.
Ever since the Big Bang occurred some 14 billion years ago, the universe has been expanding. What's weird is that the rate of the universe's expansion seems to be increasing rather than decreasing. It's actually going faster as it stretches out rather than slowing down.
Well, doesn't that usually happen before an implosion?
Not necessarily, no. You ever stretch a rubber band? It slows, and then it snaps backward. But we're expanding at an accelerator. That's the thing. It doesn't make any sense. They don't know why it's doing it. But they're saying that because it's doing that, eventually time is going to stretch out and become very, very slow. So we're all going to be moving, like, super, super fast through time.
Does that mean that that awesome music will be behind me as I'm dodging bullets like it was in The Matrix?
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, that'd be the best.
Yeah.
Will it be as terrible when it comes back the second time and the third time? Ugh. Matrix was awful after the first one.
Oh, the first one was great. Yeah, the last two? No. That's why I kind of wish that we aren't living in some kind of alien computer, because if there's a possibility that we can get flushed down, you know, and out of that system, I don't want to live in that world.
No.
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 I don't want to meet Morpheus or deal with robots or anything like that.
Yeah. No personality.
I mean, if I found out I was the one, yeah, sure, that'd be cool. But definitely not for the follow-up to Adventures, because that would just be depressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just going to stick with learning how to socialize with, you know, human beings on this planet first.
Yeah, but you don't even really do that much or that well.
Right.
So maybe you should just ask to be unplugged.
Yeah.
Up next, Lazy E scored a super awesome interview, and you're going to hear it right here on A Freak Accident.
Love us, hate us. You can still like us on Facebook.
Gee whiz, that sounds like so much fun.
Facebook.com/A Freak Accident Podcast.
Guys, you have no idea how excited I was when I got this interview.
I don't blame you.
This is a guy that's viewed as one of the best.
An icon.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. This guy's Mickey, and to understand this, he's in the Hall of Fame. This guy had one of the best matches of all time, Macho Man. WrestleMania 3, viewed as one of the best WrestleMania matches ever.
Still.
Yeah, to this day.
Yep.
So I wanted to talk about that with him, amongst a bunch of other things, when I had him on the phone. Hey, what's going on? It's Lazy E on the line right now with WWE Hall of Famer Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Thanks for taking the time, man.
Yay, Lazy E. What a wrestling name that would be, right?
I know. I actually got the name because I had a distinct, very visible lazy eye when I started here. It's a cruel business.
Yeah, well, I've already got your character in mind, and you'd be the guy out there in the ring that appears to all the fans to be very, very lazy, but you keep getting wins.
Oh, you know what? I have a career now. I have a career change. I'm back up to this whole radio thing that I'm doing. Oh, we're talking to you now because you're going to be doing something I've been watching years and years wrestling, and I've never seen this before. The interactive WWE Legends Experience, July 23rd at the Sands Bethlehem Event Center. And this is the thing. You're going to be joined by Ric Flair discussing your battle at Clash of the Champions. Now, I get the past of the past. Wrestling is wrestling. But is this a conversation that could get heated if certain things are brought up?
I'm open for any kind of discussion. We'll just, you know, leave it to the fans to be discretionary on topics and subjects. And I'm sure a lot of them are going to want to talk about our rivalry. But, you know, there's road trips and there's underlining things that happened. You know, I got a great story that happened between Ric Flair and myself, like at a 7-Eleven after a show. You know, so these are things that fans don't know about, never been printed. It'll open up for a real interesting evening.
Oh, that sounds like an awesome time. Now, talking about classic matchups, you can't talk to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat unless you bring up WrestleMania 3. Everybody's still saying this matchup against the late Macho Man Randy Savage, the best WrestleMania match of all time. Taking yourself out of the equation, what match at WrestleMania do you view as the best one?
I think some of the classic matchups between Shawn Michaels and Undertaker.
Their first one that they did when Shawn Michaels came back?
Yeah.
How do they do it
at that kind of age.
Those two guys are just great in being able to go out there and have a match. But the way that we would put it, we being, you know, the wrestlers and the promotions, is that those two guys know how to really go out there and tell a story so that the fans can get so involved in a match. And it's not going out there and wrestling at 100 miles an hour, you know, and just doing stuff just for the sake of doing stuff. Everything that they did to each other had a underlying story behind it, and you know, it was just, it kept you on the edge of your seat. Now, another classic match that I really, really enjoyed, and it's because I really love Shawn Michaels' work, but probably against one of my number one nemesis that I'm going to be with at the Sands on July 23rd, is that the retirement match that Ric Flair had with Shawn Michaels. Now, here we bring up Shawn Michaels with Taker, Shawn Michaels with Flair. He seems to be the common denominator, but I really, truly enjoy watching that man work. And I've done some Q&As to which a very popular question that's come to me, and that is, if I had somebody that I could go back and work during my prime and he was in his prime, who would that guy be? And the name that consistently pops up from me is Shawn Michaels. I would have loved to have been able to hook up with him when both of us guys would have been in our prime.
So we move up to modern times. You at one point were working as a talent development in NXT.
Right.
Could you have ever imagined that brand getting to the level it's gotten to today?
Well, you know, we have such a good crew of talent performers at the school, and we also have a group of people backstage that are just on top of the game in coming up with scenarios, and also the talent contributing and understanding that this is the direction of the business. Everything right now is geared for television and pay-per-views. You know, we have our live events, but we capture such a large audience when we go to TV and pay-per-views, and our talent knows how to really step up. Now, at the school, you know, they have so many different levels to which you can improve your character, your own talent, whether it be cutting promos, in the ring work, and developing that person that the people can gravitate to and associate, you know, the name. You know, I'll go back, I'll use my name. I was the Dragon. Then you got Macho Man. Then you got Ric Flair, the Nature Boy. You got the Undertaker. You know, every time you mention a name, the fans can immediately associate that person because of the character.
Yeah.
And right now, our development center is so far advanced to much more than when it was back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, they're learning everything from you guys, which really gets them ready. And, you know, there's been a current influx of NXT talent into the main roster. But I got to know, who right now is most impressing you that you could see hitting the moon with his stardom?
I'm going to just throw about a few names out there that I'm sure everybody listening can relate to. You know, Roman Reigns. I had a hand at the school in helping him out and training him. That young man has got Hollywood written all over him.
Yeah, like, kind of like his cousin, The Rock.
Yeah. Seth Rollins. Now, there was a guy that was doing the indie scene for a number of years, but what was good with Seth is that you could talk to him, and you could see it in his eyes that his light bulb was clicking on. You know, sometimes you'll get a piece of talent that when you're trying to explain or describe something to them, that they're looking at you like with deer in the headlights, and, you know, that's okay. That's okay. We can move on and clarify it, but Seth Rollins is a guy that, boy, he was clicking on all cylinders every time you mentioned something to him. Another name I'll throw out there is Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
He probably tried about three characters to which everybody was, you know, it's good, it's kind of good. You know, on the 1 to 10, it might be a six or something, you know. But when he came up with this Louisiana Bayou-style swamp-type character with the hocus-pocus voodoo stuff and all that kind of stuff, and the way he would do his promos is that he felt so natural in doing it, and that was the one that just put him over the top. And he's a guy that really entertains you. So there's another name of Bray Wyatt. There's two or three names of boys that have come up through NXT. They're going to be they're superstars now, but, you know, they're going to be names that we're going to talk about 20 years from now.
Well, we're going to hear all these stories. We're going to hear more about the classic matchups like Clash of the Champions with Ric Flair, July 23rd, Sands Bethlehem Event Center, interactive WWE Legends Experience. Make sure to get tickets for that because you don't want to miss it. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, I can't tell you enough. Thank you so much for joining me.
I really do enjoy doing this and talking to you, and it helps get the word out. You know, we got some, I think we got a limited number of sale tickets for photo ops and stuff like that left to be able to take a picture with myself and Ric Flair. One thing I want to bring up to the audience real quick.
Okay.
This is the first time that the two of us are going to be on stage together with our wrestling fans being able to ask any kind of a question that they want to ask. This is the first time out of all these years. I've been in the business 41 years, and our rivalry, you know, Flair and I, it went about 20 years of going back and forth. So, but this would be the first time that you'll get the two of us together. And I'll tell you honestly, I don't know when it'll ever happen again. But, you know, if the fans really want a golden opportunity to talk to the two of us at the same time, this is, you know, grab this moment.
Get those tickets now.
A freak accident. As entertaining as a car crash. That may seem morbid, but hey, people love car crashes. Why do you really think NASCAR is so popular?
Going to the zoo.
How about you
can come to.
What is Turtle Interactive?
It's something that isn't Turtle not interactive.
Right, that works for me. Thanks to them for this song. This is about going to the zoo, this segment. And, you know, there's a lot to be learned at the zoo. There's a lot of facts about animals to be gleaned. But I'm glad I didn't go to this zoo when these signs were posted, because I would have been scratching my head saying, this can't be real, can it?
And if it is, it's awesome.
It's at the zoo, so it must be real. I mean, it looks like a professional sign hung up by the zoo. It's got the zoo's logo at the bottom and everything. It looks super well done, but it's not.
No.
Yeah, this was something that happened. Ian, are you familiar with this story?
I am not, so I'm excited.
The Los Angeles Zoo staff recently noticed something odd about signs posted near some of their exhibits, particularly regarding the facts about the animals. Someone had gone around the zoo and posted up, like I said, very, very well done. We'll post this at freakaccident.com so you can see how well these are done. It looks like these were professionally designed by zoo staff and hung up near the enclosures or wherever the animals are living. The first one is for meerkats. Animal fact, meerkats can control electronics with their minds. If your cell phone rings, do not answer it. It is one of our meerkats asking for you to help it escape, and they are very persuasive.
And just to let you listener know that this was done by a comedian.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, he's the one that did all of this.
Jeff Wysoski, who is known for his stage name Obvious Plant, took responsibility for the prank. The fake signs were posted around the zoo on June 30th. I want to know how many people actually read these and believed them.
Oh, there were. Think about where we live.
Right. Think about the people who believe things.
Anything.
Right?
I'm really hoping he was walking around with a camera getting people's reactions as they were reading the
signs. Oh, we'll have to keep an eye on YouTube to see if that comes up. I guarantee people are like, what, really? I didn't know this about hogs.
Going to their kid going, look at that. How about that one? Yeah, good one. Good one, Ian.
he like,
hey, alien, can you fix Ian?
I had something in my mind, and it just went gone. Jeez. Don't even know what it was.
Animal fact for koalas. America's first president, George Washington, was actually 9 koalas stacked on top of each other.
That is genius.
See, what I don't like is the zoo took these down, like, of the moment they discovered them. Why? No, leave them up. This is brilliant.
Yeah, out the week.
I remember what it was now. There was a certain person that I used to work with that I can guarantee would believe almost all of these.
You mean Lazy A and I still work with this?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why my mind skipped on that.
Did I mention that the government makes snow? Animal fact about flamingos. Flamingos are monogamous, except for Philip, that cheating bastard.
Yay, Philip.
See, Philip.
I love how these are so... Honestly, I would think that this was made by the zoo. These are done up so well. Like, this guy spent a lot of money at Kinko's making these signs.
Probably people at Kinko's are like, what are you doing?
Animal fact about whatever this bird is. The southern crested screamer can see ghosts. That's why it screams. It is constantly bombarded with the haunting images of the undead that constantly surround us.
Please, listener, do this yourself. Put it at your own local zoo and then email us, freaks@freakaccident.com.
Animal fact about ducks.
Oh, I love this one.
If you give a tiny trombone to 76 ducklings, they will lead the most adorable parade you've ever seen.
I want that to happen. That'd be great.
There were tweets of people noticing these signs saying that they wanted to see that happen.
Oh my God.
Somebody said with regard to that one, this is not a fake fact. This is 100% true. He's seen it. Animal fact about owls. All barn owls think that one line in the Friends theme song is, "Owl be there for you." Don't tell them the truth. It would devastate them. And that's it. That is brilliant, though.
Oh, what a great idea.
I want to make signs and post them around like different places. Like go to make like a description thing for a product at Best Buy and just go stick it up there. And like, you know, this TV has the ability to travel through time and give you television shows that aired live 30 years ago.
You need only one sign when you go to a zoo. Put it in the gorilla cage. It says gorillas are great with kids.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Ian@freakaccident.com.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, it wasn't me this week. How about that?
I think we need to flush out of this show fast.
All right, that's fine. Mickey, tell the listener what they need to do to keep in touch with us in the time that we're away from their ears.
You can find us at freakaccident.com. You can go to the menu bar and click connect. I almost forgot where I was going with that. You can send us an email at freaks@freakaccident.com.
That's right.
You can go to iTunes.
Yes.
And you can download us.
Yes.
And you can leave us reviews.
Yes, and you can subscribe, too. Get episodes automatically delivered when they subscribe to iTunes.
But they have to leave us a good review.
Yeah, please leave us a good review. It'd be really nice if you left us some good words, some positive words.
And if you have negative reviews, that's freaks@freakaccident.com.
Also, don't forget, if you're a listener who's new, or even if you've been a longtime listener, we want to hear from you. We're 6 months in. Where are you from? How did you find out about the show? What do you like? What would you like to see more of? freaks@freakaccident.com. And don't forget, Android users, too. Google Play Music. We're now listed in the podcast section there as well.
And we want weird facts about your area.
Yes, we want that as well. Again, the email?
freaks@freakaccident.com.
Terrific, yes. And do not forget to come back next week. Lazy E-Man, I don't know how you've been doing it, but he's got another stellar interview.
A lot of money thrown out.
Woo!
This was my favorite.
Ric Flair going to be on a Freak Accident next week. Lazy E scored this interview. Man, I am not worthy to be on the same show as you. I am so disgusted and impressed all at the same time that you were able to pull this off.
You are worthy, just at a distance.
So that's next week right here on A Freak Accident. Again, freakaccident.com. Thank you for downloading and listening. We'll catch you next time. For A Freak Accident, my name is Crisco.
I'm Lazy E.
I'm Ian Hunter.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you
that some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
I like that.
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over. But if you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, A Freak Accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.